gang, it's time for Puck Off. Well, look who's here. Good old Santa Claus himself, Joe Bartnik.
Oh, I think you're going to say our favorite guest, our original guest.
Well, we're going to introduce him in a minute.
Oh, okay.
But I was looking around for that drum set.
But it's coming. It's all put together. It's coming, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she already played on. My daughter's getting drums for Christmas, but she's already seen him and got him and played with him. But my buddy's bringing him over in his van.
Cool.
My I don't have the caddy anymore.
You will never sleep again.
I just want my wife to be as annoyed when I'm not home as when I'm home. So
I think you've covered all those bases.
Keeping all the bases covered.
Yeah. Well, we do have a very special guest.
The original guest.
Yeah, he was our OG guest.
And I think this might be like our Heinzer show. We're not good at math.
This guy's special. He's an awesome comedian.
He's special, and we had to bring him in after the Penguins won a game.
Yeah.
Took us a while.
Yeah. We did. Well, the new coach, Mike Sullivan,
yes,
gets his first win.
Sullivan and Sons. The great Steve Byrne is
there
here.
There he is.
You're welcome, gentlemen. I'll take that. That's an applause break.
Yeah, it is.
I'll take it.
Well,
thank you guys for having me. Congrats on the long run of the show and all the success that it's had. So that's awesome.
Thank you, Steve. You never thought we'd go this far, right?
No. I mean, sometimes you do these podcasts, and sometimes it's the people that just say, you know, I'm done doing it. I did it for a bit. But you guys always had a great chemistry, and I popped in on occasion. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate that. And you got it kicked off for us.
Yeah. You started it. We had a great guest. Because I was like, well, who's your guest? Who that guy? Boom. And then they know we had Steve Byrne. And then, boom, you got the ball rolling.
Pretty good guest for your first guest.
Great guest, yeah. And he knows his stuff. So,
long-time Penguin fan.
Huge Penguin
lifetime.
Fan, yeah. Yeah,
lifetime.
Big. I mean, yeah, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I grew up right when the Pens, you know, I moved there in like the 80s, late 80s. So I was there when Lemieux was on his ascension and literally couldn't timed out any better because my junior year, they won their first cup and my senior year, they won the second cup back-to-back. And then So all those years I was in Pittsburgh, it's like it couldn't have worked out better. And then I go off to Ohio, and then you're thinking they're going to three-peat. And against the Islanders, they just couldn't get it done. Was the team that was – I mean, from – they were like the – when you think of the Bulls, when the Bulls had that amazing run where they were just killing everybody that year and they went on the championship, everybody thought that's the Pens. The Pens that year in 93 were just going to barnstorm the whole thing in three-peat and – they just fell apart, and it still, like, as a fan, guts me to this day.
It still sticks with you, doesn't it?
It still hurts, yeah.
I don't love hockey as much because of that. I mean, it took me, like, months to get over that. I mean, that was a Hall of Fame team. That was, there's, like, five Hall of Famers on
that. Yeah,
that's
right.
Well, I mean, you know, Mario Yags, Ronnie Francis, Trottier.
Mullen.
Joey Mullen and Larry Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, you had a loaded team.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean,
Ulf
is not in the Hall of Fame, but but he was great.
Those were great teams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and Bourassa just died in on his reputation of being a jerk, or he probably should be in the Rookie of the Year and won two cups.
I would have to say those are some of the best teams ever.
It was. They won 18 in a row before they gave out, you know, shootout wins and 3-on-3 wins, and they won 18 in a row the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
That was a really talented team.
Yeah. That's when Lemieux, I believe he spotted LaFontaine like 36 goals or 36 points and had cancer and came back.
And won it, yeah.
Wow.
Fucking crazy.
Wow. Well, him and Gretzky are at the top.
Yeah. That's what even Jágr said this week because, of course, I'm on Jágr. Jágr just passed Michel Dion. He's in fourth all by himself. He's coming at you, Brett Hull.
Yeah, man, he'll pass Holly.
He's like 30 goals away, right? Is that
10
it?
10 goals away from Hull.
Pass Hull.
He's like 40 from Mr. Hockey.
He's not going to catch Hull. Yeah. He's not going to catch Hull.
He's going to catch him next year, I bet.
Why? Because I will trip him. I'll let him catch Hull.
Did you see first of all, I mean, he was right in front of the net, boom, scored to break the record or to pass Hull. But then the next power play they had, he did a no-look pass in the crease to Ekblad that was just it was ridiculous.
Unreal, yeah.
He's a genius player. He always has been.
What he said, though, was he's like, you know, I started out with I put it on the Puck Off Facebook page. He was talking about how he played with great players in Pittsburgh. He played with great players his whole career. But he said the players today, you know, your Canes, your Crosbys, they're good. because no one was Gretzky and Lemieux.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, how do you guys think that those Penguin teams would have done against the teams of today?
Well, I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, just watching the Pens literally every game this season, and then I'll watch a Hawks game, I'll watch a Panthers game. It just, back in the day, like when we were, you know, in the heyday especially, how many 3-on-2s would you see? How many 2-on-1s would you see? And now they all just clog that neutral zone, and that Kessel goal last night was a 2-on-1. And that's such a rarity these days. You don't see that anymore. I don't know. So I think that when I look back on those games, you think of how many times the Pens would come down 3-on-2 with like Lemieux and Yager and then Francis and, you know, whatever. Now it's like, unless it's a power play, there aren't really that many offhand 3-on-2 or 2-on-1s.
Or Letang is on the ice. It's a 2-on-1 coming back the other way.
That's true.
Letang's the most exciting defenseman in hockey because it's always 2-on-1 going the other way. But last night, the Penguins, we won't dwell on it. We'll dwell on it a little bit. But so much is happening right
now. Get out of here. We're not friends. Just do the X's and O's on the board. I kind of like an old school coach like that for me. But Dan seemed more of like a guy that's kind of pals with everybody. And I think that he was maybe catering or pandering to the superstars on the team. And I think that you need somebody to whip them every now and then.
You need. Yeah. I mean, just look. I mean, you know, I mean, I harp on it, you know, and it's like, I mean, there's an energy with about 2 or 3 years ago with Crosby that I don't know, he thinks the world owes him something or whatever, but you know, the team does not respond when you get a little slash and you give up on the play and turn around and look at the ref that doesn't going to call anything anyway. It's not good for your captain. You want a guy that's going to run through the wall, that doesn't always give up, doesn't always look for an excuse. One time say, yeah, I need to play better.
You know, really hate Crosby.
Yeah, he does.
I don't hate Crosby, but you know what? I want my captain to be a captain. I want him to be a leader.
I agree.
When you're the best player in the world, maybe from listening to Pittsburgh media, I'm sick of Crosby apologists. I'm sick of apologizing for a guy. They go, oh, well, Getzlaf only does this. Well, you know what? They never claimed Getzlaf's the best player in the world. No one's ever claimed this guy's the best. He's been anointed the best player in the world, and he hasn't got out of the second round of the playoffs in 5 years.
Well, look, you know, he is the best player in the game. He's not – the Pens don't have the best team.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that.
That's the difference. Is Taze a better player? No, but I think he's a better captain than Sidney Crosby.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think he's
The Hawks are definitely a better team.
If I see one more, take the zone and then look for the trailer drop pass, that's not what made him great. He's not playing like the way he was great. And I'm not trying to attack Crosby, but I just really think if you're asking me would I rather have Bufflin, I'd rather have three guys on Winnipeg and two first round draft picks. Absolutely.
Then Crosby.
Yes.
They're never going to trade Crosby.
Not while Lemieux owns the team. But when they sell the team, they're going to have to. They're not winning with him. There's a culture there that isn't winning.
Now, but this is what happens. He gets injured. Something happens. Malkin takes over. Crosby comes back. It's a morale boost for the team. Then you got the first line with Crosby and Kunitz and whoever else. And then you got a second line. And then if Kessel plays the way he did with Bonino, that's your third line. Phil Kessel's on your third line. Then your fourth line, you got Eric Fehr and whoever else is going to slot in there. I mean, that's a killer up front lineup. And, you know, I think Malkin is the leader of this team right now, definitely.
I would say that's true.
No one loved Crosby more than me. No one jumped up when they won the lottery more than me. I just feel like I'm a realist about everything.
You sound like a disheartened Democrat. It's like, I voted for Obama. I thought the health care was going to be great. And now look, it's 8 years later. Where are we?
Yeah, no, I really feel that way. It's been a long time since we've played with passion. It's been a long time since we looked like we gave a damn. I mean,
I disagree.
Three games in that Ranger playoff series, I thought, wow, they care as much as – it starts from the top down. I mean – everything, I mean, the fact that he's still controlling that power play when he plays, and then you see when he's not there, Warsawski, a guy that couldn't get a cup of coffee with the Bruins, comes up, and he looks like Phil Housley, because it's not Crosby holding down the power play.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's like, and Letang can't, I mean, I'd trade Letang first. So, I mean,
he doesn't like Letang.
Well, I don't. Because I love Letang at $3.5 million. I don't like Letang at $8 million when he can't run a power play and he never hits a net when he shoots. And people say, well, he's an overrated defenseman. He's not over. His defense is actually pretty good. His offense is what's terrible.
Well, we got to keep him because if you like his defense and you think it's pretty good, the last thing Pens need to lose is D right now because we got all the young guys coming in.
Right.
Now.
I don't think this year, but I mean, at the end of the year, I would get three guys that actually can play defense for the $8 million.
Well, no one could have seen what happened with Ian Cole. Ian Cole's just disappearing slowly. But Lovejoy, who everybody considered a bust, is now starting to step up. You got to admit that.
I'm admitting that. He's a plus six.
That's pretty awesome.
Lovejoy's playing okay.
When Letang comes back, they're going to be in okay shape. I just don't think Letang can be your number one defenseman on a great team.
I don't think Crosby is a great leader. I don't think Letang is a great leader. They wear the C's and the A's, but I think this team now is going to get set back on track. The team will solidify. Then you get your better players back in line, and they step foot and step suit with what's going on with the team. And then I think we're kind of off to the right. That's the optimist.
Do you think Mike Sullivan will have an impact?
I do, because Johnson.
Barzini.
The whole time he was on the bench, every time they cut to him, it always looks like he just lost his car keys. He never looked like he was comfortable at all. So I think Sullivan's a take charge kind of guy, a very commanding guy. Everything you read about him, he's got this large booming voice and he's got this stoic presence. And look, he's also a former player. He played, you know, what, 8-9 seasons in the league.
He was great on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
Remember him for New Jersey and then Chicago? He was a great third liner. I think they can still make a run. I think they can get in. They need the Flower back. Murray's a good young goaltender.
What do you think about Murray, the young kid?
Look, he's 6'4", and that's where the NHL's going now, is you get a guy that's over 6'2" in the net, and he's athletic. He's obviously he won most shutouts last year in the AHL, and he's finally getting a shot. He looks pretty good. Look, he's not getting rattled or anything. He didn't lose by any means the other, you know, two games ago when – he just had no offensive support. So, you know, he gives up two. One's on the power play. That's not that bad for a kid just coming up. So I think he's going to do all right.
But that is the new model, right? A taller, bigger goaltender.
Yeah, taller, athletic guy.
Yeah. In all the games Zachov played, and I hate to pick on the backup goaltender, but if Flower would have played those games, they would have won. Right when Sullivan took over. I mean, the shot Zachov was giving up, I mean, you could have put an orange cone
when
right
is Flower
there.
Scheduled back?
He's a concussion, so that's never. That's always.
They said a week, but it could be a month. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he could take 3 years off like Sid did.
Well, you know what? That was that takes us back around to what I was going to ask you, which is, do you think it was his concussion issues that have kept him from playing up to his usual level?
I don't want to say that it's something else, because I don't. He's going to those areas. He lost a little step. He lost some confidence. I just always thought of him as, I don't see the same guy that they broke his face in Philly and he came back and scored the overtime win and was like F you to the crowd in Philly. Like I don't see that. I haven't seen that guy in a long time. Like the guy, I don't even think Philly can even hate him anymore. He doesn't do enough. You know, I mean, he's not the kill. He didn't have that killer. I saw him on his shootout. He came down. It wasn't like, hey, Mr. Shine, let's get away. I don't see that fire. And that's when you see Taves, when you see guys, like when you watch the Panthers play, they got fire. That's what I loved about Winnipeg that they don't have this year. That's what you see that St. Louis never seems to have. Teams got to play with a fire.
Like when Crosby.
Teams are even in the NHL. There's no Edmonton Oilers of the 80s. There's no Penguins of the 90s. Teams are pretty even. You got to play with a passion. Look what the Toronto did to the Kings. We all know the Kings are a much better team. Toronto came out a little pissed off and won 5-0.
Yeah, that was amazing.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it's like you got to play with passion. And you can't just play like,
And you're saying Sid's missing that now.
It looks like that to me.
Well, I think he may be. Look, passion comes and goes, but I think at the end of the day, anybody, and you know this, you're from Pittsburgh, and I think any hockey fan knows, you always hear about how competitive he is, and I think that's why he is rated the best, considered the best. Jordan, Kobe, Tiger, you think of these guys, what's the one thing you always hear about them is how competitive they are. I think Sid is competitive. I think it's an enigma what's going on. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. But I think there's only so long until that fire clicks again and he gets back into it. Look, he's got to know that the clock's ticking. He's got to know that they don't have that much window left for him and Malkin to be locked up with this team and Flower playing the way he is now. Finally, Flower is the one that's actually coming through. And the team itself has just left him for dust. It's sad what's going on. So I think hopefully if we can see this team click within the next week or two, especially before All-Star break, they need to get something going because, what is there, 50-some games left now?
Well, I was trying to talk, you know, but, I mean, look, the Capitals, I mean, they have six or seven great – they have six or seven guys that can lethally put the puck in the net. And then they're – I mean, Kanetsov is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. You got Ovi. You got Basham. You got Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams. You got Oshie, who's playing with some grit – and he can score. Then you got their plugger guys. You got Chimera, Beagle. Then you got, I mean, Tom Wilson is a man among boys. You got Latta. Their defense, Orpik isn't even playing. Orpik's going to be great in the playoffs. He's taking a year off to relax. He's going to be great. Hopi's, with Price hurt and Hank off his game, Hopi's the best goaltender in the East.
Yeah,
he's a good goalie.
And you got the Rangers. Hank's a little shaky. They missed the pond. They missed Klein because we all know Yandel's a skirt. And Boyle's an old man. Klein hasn't been playing. They get Klein back. They're going to make a move. Stepan hasn't played. Nash played great. He's going to rekindle. Zuccarello's going to come around. The guard's going to be awake. Kreider's waking up. Kreider made a great move the other night. The Rangers coming. The Islanders are going. Other than Halak falling apart and the Nazi Tomas Grice falling apart, I mean, the Islanders are going to be there. Tavares is the closest thing to Lemieux, in my opinion, there is. They have the great fourth line. I mean, you know, they're going to come in fourth. If they play great now and pass New Jersey, who's playing much better, who's playing amazing for them this year.
Look, you can say
the Flyers, I mean, they're garbage except for Giroux and Simmons, and they're ahead of us. Well, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, literally, look at their roster. They're ahead of us. We have to pass all these teams just to get the fourth place.
But as much as the Flyers may have our number, especially come playoff time, and you could say whatever you want about the Pens the last few years, the Pens did get to the finals in 08. The Pens did win the Cup in 09. So Malkin, Crosby, Letang, Fleury, those guys have done it. They can get back to it if something gels and it clicks. But look, I don't care about regular season. We've been through it. We've been tortured as Pens fans. They scorch during the regular season. Come playoff time, they suck. I'd rather have them suck in the regular season and click come playoff time. But the Caps can't get past the Pens. We're the Flyers to them. For some reason, they just can't beat us.
You got their number.
But we beat them this year already once. But we got to get in. I mean, I'm more worried about getting in than Gino, you know, playing Jesus and winning a round.
Well, some of these
and Flowers standing on his head. Like, I can see that happening.
We need the whole team.
If we get in.
But well, look, some teams are overachieving, aren't they? I mean, you know, you mentioned Philly and New Jersey. You guys could get past them.
Jersey's a non.
But we got to pass them.
Rebuilding now, I think.
I think they're going to fade a little.
But they got
they're playing well.
Camilleri, Palmieri, they're all playing pretty good. Schneider's. We talked about that last week. He is like the best regular season numbers in the last 100 games of anybody, which is almost ridiculous.
Yeah, that's wild.
I mean, and you got to pass them up. For some reason, we don't play good in Jersey. Like, we can't win in Jersey for some reason. We don't play that well there. I'm just saying it has to come together. And
I think that's right, though. It's Jersey.
And I don't like
Do you ever really win in Jersey? Does anybody win in
ever?
Jersey?
At
even when the Devils won in Jersey, did anybody ever really?
Well, they had a hell of a parade in the parking lot.
Exactly.
Lot C was amazing.
We won. We're in Jersey. Nobody gives a shit.
That's funny.
You know, and then in the, I mean, the Atlantic. I mean, you know, the, I mean, look at those teams now. I mean, Boston. Rask woke up. Rask is playing better. The young kids are playing better.
Boston's playing great.
I mean, Chara looks worse and worse every game, but they're playing better. The young kids are scoring. Marchand is a thorn in everyone's side. Florida. You look at Florida. I mean, Bobby Lou is resurgent. He's playing great. They're going to get their – they're playing great without Bustad, that Grabranskin guy, big tough guy. He was kind of, you know, everyone's like, yeah, he's down defenseman. He drafted too high. Now he's playing with an edge. You got Ekblad's amazing back on the back end. Their old guys, Willie Mitchell. You know, like they're, I don't know. Every team I see to me looks like, well, those guys got some guys that can score and they play with energy. And then when I watch with the Penguins, I see like, hey, Gino's playing with energy and I'm glad Kessel woke up. But then I see like a bunch of guys that like, they don't hit the net.
It's,
and I'm not trying to make it about the pitcher, but I'm saying like, look, I mean, Montreal, they're missing Gallagher, but and they're having to Taharsky put the orange cone out. I mean, it didn't stop anything.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Condon, your guy, he's looked bad.
Yeah, he has.
But they're going to get Carey Price back, and then no one's going to score.
Yeah.
Ottawa. Jesus, I mean, look at Ottawa's playing. Ottawa, like, I thought they'd fall back this year.
I did, too.
They're not.
No,
you
they're
actually
playing
picked
great.
Them, you actually picked them, though.
I know. You know, I did, really?
Yeah, you picked to make the playoffs.
Well, aren't I smart?
No. And the Red Wings, look at the – I mean, just think if they would move Howard and get someone to play defense.
You think they would do that ever?
Well, I mean, at some point, I'm just saying if they would, they would move and get like a top flight and get
– That's what we
and,
need.
And get anyway.
Just get Bufflin.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have a grade A defenseman to clean the – to clear the crease and to be physical. You got, I mean, Richards is scoring now. You got the Witches back.
Yeah.
Zetterberg's on fire right now.
No, we're playing good.
You haven't even worried about your boy Nyquist. I mean, because Larkin's
playing.
Come on, Nyquist. I mean, Larkin. Just, you know, the league, it's like I feel the league is just on fire right now. The East, a lot of good teams. A lot of good teams.
I don't put as much stock in
Toronto's playing great.
Toronto's not. Look. On paper, do you think that they're really that Toronto? They might have had a good run.
They're still in last
place. But, yeah, they're not.
But they're playing better.
Yeah, they
are. And it's funny because you look at Babcock. You're like, okay, because I remember last year saying the only guy on the team I like is Komarov. He plays like a low-end Claude Lemieux. Mm-hmm. At that edge.
Yeah.
But has a little better hands. And you knew Babcock would make him a better player. He gets Babcock's coach all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Look at him. It's like he knows what he made a great assist last night. He's play, you know.
Well, they're having some moments.
Can I say on behalf of all hockey fans, no more number one picks to Edmonton. You still can't get it together. They don't deserve a number one pick. I'm sick of it. I'm literally like sick of them. They suck this year. They're not. And look, I get it. Connor McDavid's out with the shoulder, whatever. Shock, it happened against Philly. But it's like, I'm done.
Yeah, they didn't have to fall on him like they did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But that kid does look good.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
No more. They shouldn't get another number one at least for 5 years.
I'll be the devil's advocate. A lot of people thought that about Pittsburgh. Like, that's how we built our dynasty twice.
But at least at some point, it started kind of clicking for us within 2 or 3 years.
Who looks good is Leon Draisaitl. That guy looks better than everybody.
Yeah.
You know, when McDavid gets back, they're another team that, you know, they're a defenseman away. They're finally, Talbot's finally starting to play goal. Your team, the Calgary Flames, are on fire
coming
right
alive,
now.
Coming alive.
They won
alive.
Like 9 in a row at home. Johnny Hockey.
That? Johnny Hockey.
Kerry Ramo building the wall.
I knew eventually they'd catch fire to make my prediction look somewhat good.
Well, I mean – How smart do I look right now coming to Christmas? I picked Capitals Ducks.
Oh,
in the finals.
Yeah, I had the Ducks. I had the Ducks up there too. Well, Ducks have surprised everyone.
Everybody chose the Ducks though.
Yeah.
I think all the the hockey news, you know, all the preseason, you know, picks or whatever before the season started, everybody picked the Ducks out of the West. And I don't know, the Ducks and the Pens kind of they seem to be on the same trajectory.
Well, you actually know a lot about hockey, though. So what do you think is wrong with the Ducks? Like what do you think is wrong with the Ducks?
I don't know. I think it's maybe a – look, A, it's – I think – I don't know. It's like Boudreau gets a lot of the blame for it all the time. But
he's starting
a
controversy last night. He pulled Anderson.
Yeah, he pulled Anderson, yeah.
It seems to – I don't know. I think – look, they got such a great – they have amazing talent up front, but I think, again, I think maybe it's the expectations to win. Maybe that's what's going on with these guys because this is the first year where everybody thought it's not the Kings, it's not the Hawks. I think it's going to be the Ducks, and maybe it was mental with these guys because I think that's the – look, the Penguins became the made themselves the Yankees the last few years with all, you know, what that year when they went all in, they got Aginla and Morrow and all these guys, and they stacked the bench, and you're thinking, you got to win now.
And they played imploded. Him on the third line.
Yeah.
They completely imploded. And I think maybe with the Ducks, maybe it's just mental. I don't know. But the talent's there. It's the same team from last year.
Yeah, you know, that's a good call on that, because you're right. They are loaded with talent.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody picked them. And you know, it's got to be something
if
mental.
If you're going all in, though, you don't have barbecue as your coach.
Well, that's what you always say. You always say get rid of the coach.
I always think it's the I hate to blame the goalies, and I hate to blame the coach. But if you really thought it was all in, and that's the problem, then you should have got rid of barbecue. If you think that's the problem, I mean, I think Haglund hasn't done diddly poo squat. I think they missed Paul Mary.
Watch
I,
your
I,
mouth. Come on, man.
That was a little Jim Moore for you. I think they missed Pulaski. They missed Paul Mary. They missed Pulaski. They missed Boschman. Yeah. Boschman's he's helping the Avalanche now. We're playing pretty good. Boschman's jumping in the offense up there. Boschman was an old, rugged, respected defenseman.
So some of the guys,
all the young kids, it was kind of like when the Penguins lost Gonchar. The D is falling apart there. All those Lindholm, all those young guys, and they still. When you have two goaltenders, you have no goaltenders. Anderson played good enough that where
I disagree with that.
Shouldn't be a problem.
When you have two goaltenders, you have no goal. Because remember, that's what the Hawks dealt with. Remember, the first Cup run, they had Crawford was the backup,
right?
And then who's
Niemi?
Niemi, he's in San Jose now, but he was their number one. They went back and forth.
Well,
and then
Red Wings too.
They lost Crawford, and then Emery came in, and Emery and Crawford were dueling at it. And I think Coach Q played that against the goalies to get the best out of each of them. So I don't know. That's just
no, you make a very solid argument that way.
Well, and the Red Wings too. They had Mazarek and Howard when Howard was playing better.
Yeah,
right. But I mean, But you know, if someone wants to win the race, you got to pick a jock.
You got to pick one.
You
got to
play.
You
got to pick one.
And Bruce loves.
What is always wrong with Captain Kangaroo? He can't get a goal. Now finally you have Allen. He's actually now Allen's shaky right in the last couple of weeks. But I mean, St. Louis, look at them. It's like they just can't find a goal. I mean, they had to bring in Brodeur from a retirement.
Should
community.
They have kept?
Yeah.
Should they have kept Ryan Miller, St. Louis?
No, because look, Ryan Miller got hurt in the shootout. Ryan Miller is a fragile person. I mean, not a person, but he's done in Vancouver. He's already hurt. He got hurt in the shootout. They shouldn't have kept Ryan Miller. They should just like ride Allen or go out and they could have went out and got Martin Jones or Cam. You know, whatever. I mean, but I think Allen's playing great. But make a decision.
Yeah.
Your goalie can't always be looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, that's got to be tricky.
You're the old goaltender, right?
Well, I'm sure you hate that. Yeah. I mean, because it messes with your confidence, and you're always kind of looking over your shoulder, and yeah, that can be a problem. And Bruce has had that problem for a long time. I mean, he can never make up his mind.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't blame Bruce right now. I blame Getzlaf. Perry's disappeared. I blame Getzlaf. I blame Kessler. I blame Haglund. And the GM did the same thing. He just said, hey, I'm not firing the coach. You guys suck. Murray basically said that. Like, is really, who are you going to get now? You know, I mean, they probably went, we're not going to be ruined by Tortorella. And that's probably the biggest fear.
Right.
Now that you can't bring in Tortorella now, so you can't, you know, so what's the point now? I mean, you like the Walrus. He's not going to turn that team around.
No.
You know, he's, you know.
So you stick with Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, and then hopefully someone gets fired. That's good.
And Tortorella's imploding in Columbus. They're not winning at all.
Well, they're going to trade Johansson, hopefully.
Yeah, I saw that. That's coming.
Everybody
wants him.
I mean, how much does Saad want to shoot his agent now?
Oh, yeah. We were close. Pens were close to getting him.
Oh, that would have been nice good if you got
work
him.
Out, but,
yeah,
he's got a great contract.
I told you at the Comedy Store before we got Kessler, I woke up that morning like, Rutherford, just take your balls out and offer him 3 years, 36. Just see what Columbus does.
Yeah.
Saad, I mean, Crosby wouldn't be having this slump if Saad was on his line because it's impossible.
Saad would have been great. Well, would have been great on the Penguins.
Yeah.
But now, how do you guys think Kessel has done?
I think he's done okay.
He's done okay.
The whole team is picking a. He only has two less goals. People are like, oh, they should have kept James Neal. James Neal only has 13 goals. Kessel has 11. Penguins haven't scored in a month and a
half.
Well,
Neil was a problem in the locker room.
I think he was a problem everywhere. How many bad penalties? I call him daylight saving time, James Neal. He only scores in the winter. Come springtime, disappears. Yeah, he hasn't scored in the playoffs anyway. So
well, he was somebody else that you don't want on the team because the minute he got slashed, he'd take a two-hander right in front of the ref, and you just say, "You get hit, you get hit. Move on with the play. Go on."
Exactly.
But yeah. He'd take these dumb penalties that would cost us constantly, especially come playoff time.
Oh, exactly.
It was bad.
Yeah, you don't need that in the playoffs.
You know, exactly.
But it doesn't matter who you get to play on the wing for Crosby because for some reason or another, nobody stays with him. I mean, Aginla came in for a year. He left. Hossa came in for a year.
That was kind of Disco. See, I blame Disco for that. I don't blame Disco for Hossa. Those guys play. That's how great of a player Hossa is. He made it work with Crosby. I mean.
But nobody else has made it work with Crosby unless it's Kunitz.
And why is that? Because he wants the puck?
I don't know what it is, but he had an argument with Hornquist on the bench 2 weeks ago. You haven't seen Hornquist play with him at all since, maybe one shift when somebody got injured. And then Kessel was on the line. They dropped that experiment within, 2 weeks of the regular season, three weeks? Just give it a run.
I like Hornquist as a third line guy on a really good team. He's not a top six guy on a really good team. He's not a top six guy. I always say, are you playing on the Kings in the top six? Or are you playing on the Blackhawks? He's not playing on the Blackhawks in the top six. I mean, he's not knocking Panarin and Hossa out of a winger jobs.
No, but he's somebody you need on any line, I think. Look, on a scoring threat line, you need a guy like Hornquist because he's very similar to Kunitz. You need somebody that's going to rush into the zone, check the D, loosen up that puck, and then Crosby can come in or whoever that other winger is to get. He's a guy in the corners. He's first to crash, and he's also great in front of the net, though.
Great's a big word because his hands have gone. Kunitz, I'll take all day. He plays with passion. The best one of the top two or three body checkers in the game. He's still got some speed. Yeah. I may be too much in love with Kunitz, but I'll take Kunitz all day. I love Kunitz.
I love Kunitz too.
Kunitz is good. Yeah,
I love and he still has some hands. Look at Stan Bowman. Stan Bowman won that trade. Even if you don't worry about
Trevor Daly, is that what
you're saying? No, the Saad trade. Because they needed a number two center. And because they got Panarin and they got Teravainen, the young kids.
Yeah.
They're not missing Saad for the wing.
Well, those kids are playing good.
And then they needed
a
number two center, and Anisimov is perfect for them. And now he's Kane's center. Then you can split Taves and Kane.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, you know. What's
Panarin's playing great.
He only scored 27 goals, point streak. I love the way the Blackhawks did things because, you know, since we've won one and Boston won one and then the Kings won two, but you know what did the Kings do last year to screw them up? They signed all their third and fourth liners to two and three year, Nolan and Clifford and Lewis. These guys like 3 year contracts. But what the Penguins did with like Kennedy and you know what?
But there's a lot of luck that goes with that too. I mean, with what. Look, the Hawks drafted well. They got Saad. Yeah. He came up. They traded him off. These young kids come up. And for some reason or other, it is clicking. It is working for them. For the Pens, Bo Bennett never really kind of clicked. Sprong comes up. They ship him off. They give Connor Sheary, first line with Crosby and Kunitz. It's like, you bring the guy up from the AHL. I get it. But give Spronger a chance. You got rid of him so quick.
But the thing is, they got Taves leadership. Hey,
well, I agree with you on that.
Taves and Duncan Keith, I'll take as winners over. I have to bring it all back to the thing over Letang and Crosby as winners. I mean, it's Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, like, you know what? They didn't sign, oh, we love Cook, we love Kennedy, oh, we're going to make Tyler Kennedy peanut butter. But no, you know what? They got rid of them. They traded them all away to get $30 million under the cap to bring up young guys. I don't want my fourth liners to build houses, I want my fourth liners to live in an apartment. To live in the hotel next to the training complex. No one on the third and fourth line should feel like they have a job forever in the NHL on that team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it should be a revolve. Like, look at the Blackhawks. Other than Kruger, who's a great faceoff man, penalty killer, and 1-2. I mean, everyone else, like, they sent Pickle to Rockford. You know, you got to earn it to be on those teams.
You got a guy like Andrew Shaw, who's a lunch pail kind of player, who's on a third line for the Hawks and kills it. And
yeah, he's a young kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think what Steve was saying, though, is that, you know, Chicago's been able to fill those holes some way.
Yeah,
they had a lot of top guys leave.
Yeah.
And they still were able, you know, Perrinen and all these guys that came in actually were able to fill the holes.
And the Kings did, too, the first time they went to the Cup. And then last year they didn't have as many young guys. The young guys that came in, they're like, oh, the fresh breath there, the 70s line. They're like, whoa, the 70s guys. The King, who's been hurt now for a while.
Peterson got hurt.
Pearson got hurt. You know, like Toffoli. He's like, you need the energy of young legs to fuel a team that can score, put the puck in the net. I mean, it's kind of happening to Winnipeg right now, the team my third mistress. The Jets are just.
What happened to the Jets this year?
Either their fourth line. I mean, either their first line scores, Little and Ladd, or their second line scores, you know, Shifley line. Other than that, it's almost like the Crosby Malkin. One of them plays one game, one of them plays.
Well, they looked like they were coming on last year. And
we Jets, loved them.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't they?
It was definitely
And now the Avalanche are playing better. Now that they're behind the Avalanche now.
Yeah, they're in last place now.
By the way, I love those new Avs jerseys.
Yeah.
Those are pretty sick.
Yeah, they look like they're like from the they look like they're like from the Masonic Temple.
The old school.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rosicrucians.
One thing I want to say, did you RIP go to the old school our guy, Dickie Moore. Thoughts on Dickie Moore. You remember Dickie Moore?
Yeah, sure.
Because he was a Canadian, and then he went to the St. Louis and made them good for a while.
Real good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys lost in the shuffle of the great Canadian.
He kind of was. But he was on those great teams where they had so many names that he was lost in the shuffle. But a very talented player.
Yeah.
You know, consistent, too. You know. But, yeah, you're going to get lost with all those big names that they had back then.
And the Joe, 500 at the Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Louis Arena. I mean, I'm sorry, they had 800 now wins at the Joe.
Is that right now?
Yeah. I just wonder. And it's going away. What do you think about that?
Oh, man, the Joe's classic. You always hate to lose an old barn. I remember when they got rid of the Olympia. Olympia's where I used to go to watch Gordie Howe and Del Vecchio and all those guys. And that was a classic old arena. And I remember when they moved into the Joe and I was pissed. I was like, why are they going there, man? I like the Olympia, you know, but it happens. It, you know,
the Olympia. It sounds like it was a Bobro Brazil.
Well,
Haystacks.
Yeah, they had they had wrestling. They had Kai. I remember seeing the Rolling Stones there.
Oh no way!
Yeah.
And no Little Caesars ads everywhere.
No, that's right. Yeah. That was pre Little Caesars.
Yeah.
It was a different era. But yeah, you got to move on. It's like when you guys moved out of the igloo.
Yeah,
I like that igloo.
We still haven't recovered.
I love that igloo.
Yeah.
I mean, it just had a cool look.
Yeah, the people got intimidated by the rats in the locker room were bigger than
The igloo rats. Was loud, too. I think a lot of these old, you know, like you said, these old barns you used to go into. I went to a game at the Spectrum back in the day, my dad took
right.
me. You go to, you know, all these older kind of arenas that even in Boston before they moved to TD, whatever it is. I don't know. They're not as loud as they used to be. Yeah. I remember the igloo being loud, real loud. Spectrum was loud.
People were afraid to go to the Spectrum. I mean, opposing teams.
You know, absolutely.
Because it had that vibe, man.
Flu.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, even just the Penguins. It used to be 0-for-Nixon. We didn't win there from Nixon to like 1986.
Teams were afraid to go into that building.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, they just, you know, they're just comfortable now. There's none of that weird stuff where like Boston's rink used to be smaller. Then you had the Big Bad Bruins, so you go in the corner that was like half the size of a normal rink. You get killed, or you have to walk up the stairs. You're tired by the time
you don't
want to
go in the
bench.
Corner with Cashman.
No, the Big Bad Bruins. Yeah.
I'm glad I got to catch a game the last season for the Islanders too before they left to.
Did you catch one?
Nassau Coliseum. Yeah, Barclays. Yeah, well, you know they might go back.
Really?
Because they're refurbishing it now.
Well, I heard there's a ton of blind spots. Obviously, it's Barclays is made for basketball, so there's a lot of shitty seats in there, and they draw that curtain. Anytime they draw the curtain, It's never really good anywhere.
Yeah. Even at the improv.
Even at the improv, it's never good when you draw the curtain. Yeah.
It's not good.
Whenever I show up at West Palm Beach or the Hollywood Improv, it's draw the curtain, burn.
No. You sell them out, buddy.
But they have like a car that takes up like prime seating. There's like a car on display. It looks like the Price is Right. You know what I mean? It's like where I paid like $160 each for me and the boo to sit and watch the Penguins Kings. There's literally like a Datsun.
Well, that's Jay-Z's parking spot.
That's Jay-Z's parking spot.
He's got preferred.
How short-sighted is it to build an arena this day and age that can't do ice events? I mean, even if you hate hockey, you have the ice capades, and you know, I mean, like, how can they have a hockey rink in Brooklyn?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, they're building a rink in Vegas now. So, when is the NHL just going to announce that they're?
Well, that's about time, right? Because they've been toying with it.
Yeah, now they're like saying they may not even do it because it's just a lot of the owners don't see it as a bonus. They think the product's already watered down. They don't want to have a expansion draft, have their players taken away. Because when you divide the entry fee up, it's really only like each team gets $30 million. And then when you figure then if the team isn't going to work out, it's a black eye on the – I'm not sold on Vegas. I'm sold on Seattle.
Seattle would be a great market. I think Vegas, they would have the greatest home record in the West.
Everyone else would be completely hungover.
Yeah.
And they'd be in trouble.
And Yager would never leave.
Yeah.
Their problem with expansion is that every time they try to make it impossible for Quebec to get a team.
To get another, yeah.
And Quebec just keeps, like, hitting the hurdle.
Yeah.
They keep trying.
And they don't know how to say, like, well, we just really don't want you to have a team.
Yeah.
Because at one point they said it's going to be an $800 million to get in, which is like over a billion Canadian money.
Right.
And they came up with it.
Yeah.
And Seattle was like, we're not paying more than $300. That's the other thing. So Seattle's completely calling their bluff on the entry.
Right.
They're like, no, you want us. We can come in for free.
Yeah.
It's like ladies' night.
If they do go to Vegas, do they build a new arena or do they play at MGM Grand?
I think, aren't they building
it? I think they're building it.
Yeah, they're building it now.
Are they?
Yeah. But I don't know where. But I don't know where.
I don't know. I think it's attached to the Hard Rock. No. It's
Motley Crue in residence.
Well, where did I go? Oh, I went to see the Wranglers play at the Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How was that?
It was great because it was, you know, a packed house.
Yeah,
Vegas fans turn out. They love hockey.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I've said
probably they're just for the AC, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's true.
I've said this many times though. Like, why does hockey have to be the league that is like the one that like has to go to Vegas and see how it is? Why can't the NBA go there and then the franchise?
Because we all know how that would turn out.
Speaking of Vegas, I remember, you know Carl from the Improv, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That runs the Improv Club at Harris. We're at the game. We all went to the game, and we were playing in town that week, and something happened on the ice. Somebody got hurt, and we hear the announcer go, "Would someone with the doctor please report?" We see Carl running down the aisle with a bucket. Yeah, Carl's the trainer for the Wranglers.
That's great.
Yeah. The guy from the Improv.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that guy's always cool.
Yeah.
It's an interesting.
But it's a town that would I think support the team.
That's the nice thing about the minor league hockey team is that the team doctor is in section 300. He's got one down with a bucket.
Yeah. He's with the bench. His mistress. Like, don't put him on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carl's
trying
to
put him
on
the big screen.
Carl's on the back trying to peddle improv tickets. Well, I think they'd support that team. And I think you're right. Seattle would be a great franchise.
Seattle would be great. Seattle's jonesing for another team. I think ever since they lost the Sonics, they're
And they're great. They totally support. Every time I go up there, there's a big puck-off community up there, and they're always like, we need to get a team. Like, you guys need a team.
Yeah.
Beat Portland to the punch. I'd much rather go see games up in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Seattle's a great city, too.
Yeah, in Portland's the minor leagues.
They're going to get a team.
Yeah, I hope so. But then they need two out west to balance it out, so – if Kansas City can support it, Kansas City can support a team. I'm not quite sure. It'd be one of those things where if they win, they'll support the team. If they don't, they'll be the Royals. That's what the NHL doesn't need, more teams that can't sustain themselves.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I don't need them to go to Vegas and find out, oh, the casinos gave up on the team 2 years ago, and now there's 400 people in the stands.
That's why it's nice this year to talk about Florida, and you actually talk about the Panthers' record or the fact that they have a young core or the fact that Jágr's defying time. You're not hearing about, oh, is this the year the Panthers are going to move?
Right.
It's like I'm glad that we're not talking about that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
If they don't support this team with, I mean, you got, did you play?
They sold out their home opener, which is great.
They got Trocheck, Pittsburgh guy. They got Pierre. Like I said, they got so many guys. They got Huberdeau, Barco. They got so many guys on that team that are good, exciting young players. And then if you're just an old person from anywhere up north, you go see Jágr.
Exactly.
I mean, if you don't support this team now, you're never going to support this team. Speaking of Florida teams, what do you think happens with Stamkos?
He's going to stay. I mean, he came out in the press, said he wants to stay. I think he will stay.
Does Eisman want him to stay?
Look, you could say 1,000 things, but the guy, look, he's in a bit of a scoring rut right now. There's no way a player that's at age 25 isn't going to click back in at some point. And look, anything can happen from now until All-Star break. After All-Star break, that's when you go all in on your team. And I think Stamkos... Who are you gonna get? Who are you gonna trade for him? What are you gonna get back for Stamkos?
You'd have to give up half a team to get him.
Yeah,
I would never get rid of Stamkos if I was them.
No, he's a great player.
He's young
and he's only 25.
He dives in front of pucks on power. He dives in front of pucks.
Well, he's a guy who plays with passion, and he's super talented.
Oh, absolutely. And you're gonna like the triplets are gonna carry that team forever. The triplets are already done. I love Kucherov, but Johnson's back to where he is. His size, he's not controlling the game. Palat's been hurt a lot.
A lot, yeah.
You know, I mean, what's funny for me to say, Bishop's carrying that team.
He hates Bishop, but now he's been...
I don't hate Bishop. I think the puck luckily hit him a lot last year.
This year he likes him. He likes him this year.
He's playing great this
year.
Yeah,
he is. He is.
I mean, I give credit where credit's due. I hate Scotty Hartnell, but I'd give him a piggyback ride if he wanted to be a Penguin.
Hartnell is a Claude Lemieux. He's a guy that you don't want to play against, but you want on your team. Absolutely. He's a Marchand.
Well, he's struggling this year. But he's a guy. I'll tell you the other guy you want on your – he's falling apart now. I brought him up last week or 2 weeks ago. Chris Neal, he got crushed. He didn't even retaliate. I'm like, oh, my God. Neal just wants the gold watch for 20 years in the league. Chris Neal used to retaliate for stuff that happened 7 years ago in a minor league game. You know, it's like he's just those guys. That's the guys you want.
Just watch the watch now.
Yeah. We haven't talked Kings at all yet.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. What do you think?
Great road trip, and they left early. They let Toronto get back to Toronto.
Yeah, that was a weird loss.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. But they had a pretty good road trip.
Yeah, love them. Still in great shape. They're the only team in the West that's guaranteed. The only team in the West that's guaranteed a playoff spot.
Steve, have you become a Kings fan a little bit?
Not really. I mean, I go to games. I saw the Pens play there. Got smoked. It was pretty boring. But, I respect Lucic. I enjoy watching him. He's a little wrecking ball out there. But the Kings are one of those teams, I think, right now where they're so young. They have the core. And I think that on any year, they could contend. Because, you come in, you're the eighth seed. You win the cup. That one year where every game they go into the third period down 2-1. They eke it out. They find a way to win. There's a will there. There's a passion. They're big. They're strong. They're quick. So I think, look, they're just one of those sleeper teams that can go in the playoffs and sneak in and come away with the cup every year. You just never know.
Do you think that last year maybe they were just worn out from that cup run the year before?
I think you can't go. Plus, it's not just going the distance all the time. It's going the distance the way they did. Overtime, constantly.
Coming from behind. Yeah.
Mentally, that's got to be draining on a team, and they still find a way to win. They just do. I don't know how they do it.
They were ready last year. You know what happened was no one thought Calgary would come up and take their playoff spot. They're going to cruise, and they'll wake up. And
that's what they were thinking.
Then when they hit the alarm clock, it was, Calgary's 4 points ahead of us with one game left.
Too late.
It's over. Yeah. I mean,
Story this year, though.
I love Lucha. Yeah. It was really cool, too, was Lucha when they were in Pittsburgh. He high-fived the kids leaving. My wife loved that.
Yeah,
like he was leaving. Like Luch is
well,
such,
Luch has Luch, been
Luch is such a good guy. I mean,
as
I mean,
advertised too, he's playing as well as he was advertised.
Well, even like Joe Hanson last night when he played against the Pens, he drilled cold on the boards, and the plexiglass came out. There was a little kid in the front row, and he went over and he skated back and gave the kid an extra stick, which is, I mean,
that's cool.
I think that's the difference with hockey players.
Hockey players are cool.
You know, what's great is that Tortorella is going to run him out of town. And thank God, because they're in our division. So trade him somewhere far away. he's a great player.
He is a great player.
And having him and Saad together is not going to be happy.
Yeah.
2 hours down the street. So run him out of town, Tortorella.
Yeah. By the way.
Actually, Tortorella could be the greatest thing to happen to the Pens in Columbus. So thank you, Tortorella.
Everyone is in Maine.
Yeah.
By the way.
As long as if Malkin can skate after the game, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Talk about class of the NHL players. So I like the send-off for Dupuis.
Oh yeah, that was so nice.
Yeah,
Pascal Dupuis.
Duper's great.
That the crowd too was really cool.
Yeah,
yeah. They finally turned away from the carving table to give Dupuis a standing ovation.
Well, it was tough even reading about it because it's like he left after the game to go to the hospital. He's back. He goes to the hospital, another health scare. It's just like, are you as a player gonna do that to not only yourself, to your family, but also to your teammates? Because it's got to be taxing after a while. So, because then it's like, how are you going to fill that void on the first line with Crosby? Who do you call up?
Yeah.
Then the lines get all
do
reshuffled.
Do
it's just
not?
A hole to do
he,
every
he,
time.
He,
so
he
I'm glad
right.
he made the right call.
He did it right. He did it right. He classy on every occasion. He did it right. He did it right. Classy on every occasion. The great Lindy Ruff still keeping it together. You see?
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I'm another.
Looking
I'm,
good.
To me, I don't know if you read my article in Pro Hockey News, but to me, I said what really happened to the Penguins.
No, I did not, but I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, now well, we're going to.
Great plug.
Yeah. Thank you.
Way to sneak
was,
that in there.
I said that one of the reasons that happened to the Penguins to fall the umpire was when Blazma became Olympic coach, it became un-American to fire him. And that was the summer after the Philly debacle. And Lindy Ruff and Laviolette were on the market.
Boy, I'll tell you.
And I'll tell you what, we have Lindy Ruff or Peter Laviolette. You think Lindy Ruff wouldn't tell Crosby you can't play the right wall in the power play?
Well, Laviolette, absolutely. Laviolette, I hated him against the Flyers when he was a Flyers coach.
Thank God Philly's so dumb they fired him.
Ugh.
Can you believe they fired Laviolette?
That guy.
Laviolette got the Millbury Islanders to the playoffs. He won a cup in Carolina.
Yeah.
but he wasn't smart enough to coach in Philly.
It
right?
kills me that we didn't get him as a coach. I would have loved him.
That would have been a good
pickup.
But,
hey, let's see what happens with Sullivan. He could turn it
around.
No, I
mean, I wasn't against Barzini. I wasn't against Barzini, but I like Sullivan. Sullivan's a nice change, but I just love the way Lindy Ruff – I love Lindy Ruff. I love the way Dallas – Ben and Sagan
Jesus
are
Christ
the best.
What he's done, yeah.
Ben and Sagan are the – I mean, Jamie Benn's a man.
He's
your,
amazing.
That's your captain. He's a man.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He clean. I mean, it's like there's no, you know, there's a fight to be had. He fights. There's a goal that needs scored. He scored. Like that's your captain. And Sagan last night, but he's getting everyone to play. He gets everyone involved. I mean, look at Buffalo. It became a circus when he left. Like when he left, it became a circus.
Yeah,
and he would have beat. And he'd beat you with his. He'd beat, I love. I just have to plug this star.
By the way, what do you think of Jack Eichel?
I've seen a few games, and you look at his hands, his release speed. I mean, he's great. He's absolutely as built.
Yeah.
I think once Buffalo does get going, I think Kane is still injured, right? Is he back on the ice now?
Yeah, he's actually made our awards, which
okay.
is coming up very soon.
And Riley, I think they got a great team. I think in another year or two, we'll see what happens with them, but they could be a threat. But Eichel's as built, definitely.
Don't you think? Yeah.
Disco's the perfect coach for that team because he'll let them all play and no one will be accountable and they can all score and get everyone be happy in Buffalo for a couple of years.
I
detect sarcasm. Yeah.
They'll be mustache boys. They'll be playing wiffle ball and
everyone
can celebrate their birthday in the locker room. And then when the time comes to make a coaching decision or switch up a line or make a call, then, you know, then they'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
But until then, we can all enjoy, you know, the greatness of Dan Blausma. I like Disco. He just had to go. He had to go.
I wanted him out.
I didn't think Shiro had to go. I didn't think Shiro had to go. I think when you go out and you get Jerome Iginla, and your coach puts him on the third line,
that's
when you go out again, everyone said Ginla was washed up. He's only like the third best forward still in the Avalanche.
Yeah, on the Avs. Yeah,
4 years great, later. Yeah. I mean, Ginla's killing it.
Yeah.
You know, the Central. I mean, who you like in the Central? I mean, I know you like the Blackhawks, but
well, yeah. I mean, look, the Hawks have the history to go ahead and do it again. Because every year they win the cup, the team implodes due to contracts, and they got to get rid of a lot of key guys that helped, you know, Ladd and Bufflin leave and Versteeg and all these guys. You think,
you see Versteeg's goal last night?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you think
Versteeg's awesome, man.
Did you see that goal last night?
I didn't see it, but I'm a fan.
He pulled
of
the hurdle the between his legs.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. on the rebound.
I dig him anyway, man.
Yeah, you like
he's good.
He always he's always a big Versteeg guy.
But the Hawks
I didn't mean
can
to cut
it.
You off, but
but
who are the other two teams though you like? Because there's
You know, you always hear this could be St. Louis's year. This could be St. Louis's year, and every time St. Louis comes in the playoffs, it's not their year. So I don't
know.
I'll always go with the Hawks with who they've got. It's like how can you bet against them?
So your two other playoff teams are though. Not to put you on the spot.
For me,
yes, in that division. Because they're all like a point within each other. Chicago and,
St. Louis will make the playoffs.
Okay, St. Louis. Okay, and then you got your Minnesotas, you got your Nashvilles, you got your Avalanche.
I think Nashville will turn it around. I don't think they'll. I don't know. You know, it just come playoff time, you just don't know who's gonna catch fire.
Yeah,
and go,
no.
But then
just,
they could fizzle. So
yeah,
I don't
know.
We
a lot
they,
of
Nashville started off
Dallas
hot
is
this
right
year.
There. Dallas is in. So
yeah,
right.
Dallas is in.
Yeah. So.
I think the way Dallas is winning, they got a youthful optimism. They remind me almost of like the 08 Pens, where they were young, they were winning, they were happy to be winning, they were believing in themselves, and that's what's happening this year with those guys. They're killing it. And then you got the veteran leadership of Sharp, who's got, you know, three cups under his
Sharp
belt,
really
so
helped
bring
them,
that
didn't
in,
he?
The,
yeah.
And
yeah.
in the locker room.
Oh,
so.
Do you
oh,
really?
Oh, do you help too?
Oh, do
that
you
was a
really
bit, those
help.
Are two big
yeah,
pickups.
Yeah, yeah. Really helped them. Daly's helping us, though. I'm really glad.
I still see Chicago winning that.
Yeah,
division.
Yeah, well, I like to see Chicago. I like to see Chicago. I like to see Dallas versus in the Central Division Final. I like to see Dallas Chicago.
That'd be great.
The Emmy coming back to town.
That'd be great. Yeah,
great matchup.
I mean, because then you wonder about the matchups. You know, who does Keith go at? You know, who does Keith? You know, it's like it's interesting. That's one thing. Then we'll end this segment. That's one thing is, you know, not to throw dirt on. I hope Sid proves me wrong. He didn't. Chara didn't even
try to get under his skin. Yeah,
he didn't match up against him.
Yeah,
they didn't match Sid versus Chara.
Yeah,
those days are gone.
Yeah. Anyway, so are you going to stick around for the awards, or you have to run, or it's
I do
you?
Have to run.
Okay. Well then, an applause.
Oh man,
thank you, gentlemen.
Steve so Byrne. Good to see Steve. I mean,
thank you guys. Congratulations. Keep killing it, guys.
This might be our 100th episode.
Bringing it
if
full
not,
cycle,
it's close.
My friend.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so
the
much.
The great Steve Byrne. He will be at the Pittsburgh Improv New Year's Eve with Gary Cannon. So
yeah.
You can come.
What
late.
A show. No, that's a great
I know,
show.
I just love
it'll be fun. Yeah.
Great show.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, and check him out. Anything else you want to?
Netflix, Champion. That's a special. And I'll be filming my fourth hour in Chicago, February 6th at Lincoln Hall. So
wow.
If there's any Hawk fans,
4 hours
out,
is pretty impressive.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Very, very, very impressive. Great stand-up. Yeah. Great guy. Great actor. Sullivan's son was a great show.
He does it all.
He does great
it all.
Show.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, the best. The great Steve Byrne.
Steve Byrne.
And
yeah,
a great defenseman. He beat me so bad out of the corner. I hit my head so hard they stopped the game. Said, "Are you okay?
You can't play. You're not in his league, my friend."
No, he used to always slash me, come up the ice, and go, "We're going this way now."
It's bad when he's tipping you off.
He's
what he's doing?
Yeah, he's the best. He's what a great
Steve
guy.
Byrne,
thank
awesome.
You, Steve
yeah,
Byrne, the
awesome,
best
awesome.
Right there.
All right, we'll be back with the awards.
We'll be back with the awards.
Puck off right after this.
Hey, everybody, this episode is sponsored by Pro Hockey News, a great website, news of all the leagues everywhere around the world. All your favorite teams are covered, and if you check it out coming up, you will read my new column on the Philadelphia Flyers. That should be interesting.
That's
all right, everybody, back to the show.
Back to the show, and your column is great.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see how the Philadelphia one goes over.
Oh, that's going to be a hit. We know that.
We'll see how that one goes over. All right, everybody.
First of all, thanks to Steve Byrne for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
a great guest.
Yeah, the original guest, the best guest. I'm sorry if we talked a little too much Penguins, but that's
going to happen when you have Steve Byrne.
We got Steve Byrne here, and it's and me. We're going to talk Penguins a little bit, but I think we got everyone around the league. A quick fantasy update. To realize this before Christmas, I fell back.
You're in last place.
I was in 10th place like on 2 days ago.
Guess who's in 10th?
You passed. Oh,
wow. Where are you now?
I'm back in last.
Oh, I thought you were already. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I jumped to 10th.
Oh, man. Johnny knocked you out.
Johnny not getting his Christmas bonus this year. yeah.
Talk
so
about losing syndication.
Yeah. Right now, Claude Lemieux's hat trick is in first place. Oh. Passing Swedish Hammer, number four. And then Stahl's stash is in third place, which is funny because Stahl just got a fine for diving.
Yep.
As a Minnesota man. And Jose Galvez.
Where's Galvez?
He's in fourth.
Oh, okay.
But of course,
striking distance.
On Sunday when Jágr played amazingly and I was cheering Jágr and wearing and enjoying my Jágr on top of my Christmas tree, I forgot to put Jágr in the game as
wow, dude.
I thought he was on my everyone that
he's
plays
busy,
great
he's
on my
the
team
Christmas
is every time, but no excuses, but oh jeez.
Wow. That
really hurts.
That's disappointing.
All right. Oh, speaking of Claude Lemieux, we had no Claude Lemieux. We had no Mario Lemieux. So those awards are left out this week. For a dirt ball of the week. We have Tortorella. He could win the award every day.
Every week.
But he basically said, that Gino faked the knee injury.
Oh, see, let's just give him the dirt
pain. Yeah, I mean,
for that. Yeah,
you knee a guy, and then you say he faked the knee pain. In players with it, we have Lawton of the Flyers with the no-look elbow, and I can't read my own writing now. I'll read it. Man, I can't read my writing. He threw a no-look elbow on somebody, like away from the play. No one's looking behind the play. He just elbowed someone in the head. So it's a very dirtball move.
That's very dirtbaggish, but
yeah, I'd be able to read.
We got to go with Torts.
Yeah, we're gonna go with Torts. We have a couple Bobby Pro Bears.
Ah.
Boone Jenner of the Columbus for, after kneeing Malkin, he got in a fight with Craig Wilson. Not Craig Wilson, our guy in the Penguins. Craig Wilson plays for Minnesota, for Nashville. And not Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson plays for the Capitals. R. Wilson, Scott Wilson. Jeez, I didn't look him up.
All right.
A lot of Wilsons in the league.
Yeah.
He gets that one. And also Manson of Anaheim, he gets a Bobby Pro Bear. He gets a Bobby Pro Bear because of his fight and goal the other night.
Okay, cool. I'm going with Manson.
Yeah, remember his dad, Dave Manson?
Yeah.
Scary, scary man.
Scary dude.
Scary man. You know what's funny about Manson is Manson just did this against he fought Martin of the Islanders. That's not an easy
play.
I mean, Boone Jenner, Scott Wilson's not exactly Bob Probert.
Plus,
Matt Martin's a man. So,
since Boone need Gino.
Yeah.
He's off.
No, he's off. But, you know, I mean, Manson has two goals for the Ducks this year as a defenseman, which is only one less than Carl Hagelin has as a forward.
Ducks need a little good news. I'm going with Manson.
You got Manson there. Now, the Ronnie James Dio Award.
Come down with fire. Lift my spirit higher. Someone screaming my name. Come and make me holy again. I'm the man on the silver mountain.
We have two contestants. Tyler Bozak with the hat trick.
I saw that.
With the hat trick. And then we also have whoever is the program director at the NHL Network for putting Catherine Tappan back on the air.
Oh, man. Yeah. You are making that a tough call.
Yeah.
Because I was going to go with Tebow's for the hat trick, but I got to go with the guy for putting Catherine Tappan back on.
Tap of the stick.
Whoever
called Catherine Tappan back in on her day off to say, we know you're not working NBC. You're going to come here and make Puck Off.
He gets the award.
Puck Off a reality. All right, now we have. I'm not going to pick as many saves as we used to because I think you just keep running them off and people have busy lives. But we have some great ones. Great ones this week. We have Nilsson of Edmonton, absolutely. Stonewalling Mr. Nash on a breakaway with his toe, with his little baby toe.
Yeah, with a baby toe.
Yeah, he stopped Nash. Did you saw that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one, Mr. Nilsson. We have Quickie on Mitchell of Montreal. That was a big save.
Big save.
We have Corey Crawford with the big save on Tyler Ennis of Buffalo on the one-timer on the power play that was huge.
Yep.
That was a crazy game. You talk about Buffalo getting no breaks. I'm going to bring it up with Steve. They were beating Chicago by a goal with 2 minutes left. So whoever the refs were called at 5-on-3. They called two power plays at the same time. And the same blow the whistle. So Chicago had a 2-minute 5-on-3.
Oh, wow.
Which then became a 6-on-3.
Right.
Then they lost the game and lost the shootout. Poor Buffalo. We have Jonathan Bernier on Gabarick. Did you see that one?
Didn't see that.
Oh, that was in the Toronto game. I mean,
I don't like anybody who stops Gabarick.
And it was a sick pass from Kopitar, and he actually made two saves, like made the pad, then made the toe. Bernier's winning his job back in Toronto. He's playing great. And then as the player save, we have Russell of Calgary stopping our boy Zetterberg right in the crease.
Man.
Zetterberg had a goal.
You're killing me.
And he stopped it there, and then one more, a really sick one. Varlamov stopped Bickle right in front of the net on the sick pass.
Well, I'm not going to vote for anyone who stops Bickle.
Yeah.
Got to go with Nilsson.
Yeah, that was a big save. That was a fun one. Now we have the fun goons.
TNT, I'm dynamite. TNT.
Fun goons. They're not so fun goons, playing who you are. We have Goodrow absolutely ran PK Subban, which we don't like. But then he got fought by Mitchell of Canada fought him. So that was great, the Calgary. We have James Neal with the elbow against Johnny Hockey.
Boo.
Yeah, exactly. Boo. Jamie Benn with the big elbow. The big elbow on I should write these bigger. Jamie Benn, the big elbow. Then we had Niskanen, our friend Niski of Washington, absolutely crushed JT Brown of Tampa Bay. Then we have Dubinsky with the cheap-ass knee on Voracek of the Flyers, only to have his ass handed to him by the great Wayne Simmonds. the great Wayne Simmons.
I think that's my pick.
We have Dalton Prout with the nine headshots to the nine cross checks to the back of the head of Plotnikov after they went down 5-2. We have Jenner, Boone Jenner, acting way more like Bruce Jenner with the knee to Geno. And then we have Scott Wilson stepping up. We have Fair finally avenging Dubinsky's cross check on Crosby's head two games too late. But Fair's first professional fight. Our guy Eric Fair, who we love. This is probably the one that wins, actually. Did you see Max Talbot's elbow to the head of Tuluski?
No.
Oh, he got him a two-game suspension.
Oh, no, I did. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You have to basically shoot someone to get more in the game in this league.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a vicious one. We have Joe Pavelski absolutely ran over a guy. I can't read my writing. This is terrible. I apologize, fans. I really do.
Bigger writing next week.
Yeah, we have Ferraro boarded Giunta. Palmieri came to his aid. We have the Tampa Bay fight with Boyle getting run over by Burakowski of Ottawa. Colburn comes to his aid. Favorite one of mine: Ryan Getzlaf versus John Tavares. Two roughs.
Yeah.
We love it. We love it when the captains go. Yeah. So, captain, your pick.
I'm gonna go with Scott Wilson.
All right, there you go, the great Scott Wilson.
You know why? Because that was a cheap shot on Geno, and he came to his aid.
All right. You're absolutely right. Now, before we get to the Twitter, one more time, I want to give a full, heartfelt advertisement for Yoli's Tobacco Company. They just sent me a Christmas package. Amazing cigars.
Oh, man, look out.
Yeah, we're going to be smoking them at the Puck Off Christmas party, which is going to start in about a half hour.
About a half hour. Yeah. Break them out.
If you're in Milwaukee, if you're in Chicago, if you're anywhere near Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you want to get to Yuli's Tobacco Company. They're the best. If you smoke cigars, you smoke pipes, they have all your tobacco smoking needs. They have a great sitting room. They serve you a nice little pop of whiskey. It's good stuff. It's at 114 West Wisconsin Avenue. If you're not around there and you just want to sit at home for the holidays, you want to have them sent to your door, it's Yulees.com, and that's Yulees.com. I'm telling you, best cigar store in the world. They're great friends of the show. Please give them your business and stop in and say hi and say I'm Joe and Frazier and Johnny Bench sent you. All right, everybody, here come the tweets.
Here we go.
Our first question is from Bill Carson. He's asking, I'd love to hear their take on the Minnesota Wild hijacking the Minnesota North Stars sweater for their alumni game. Might as well have the Sharks wear a California Seals sweater. Regardless if it's their city, it's not the same franchise. Sacrilege.
You know, I disagree with that. I see his point, but I like going back. I like going to the heritage.
Yeah,
I like those old North Star jerseys.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I feel bad because I think I would feel the exact same way if the Penguins left and a new team came to town and someone was wearing the Penguins logo, like, you're not Lemieux and Yager. I feel his pain.
No, I know what he's talking about.
You don't have that many guys to make an alumni game.
Yeah, you got to go heritage.
Yeah, I mean, not no offense to the Wild guys that played there 10 years ago, but I mean, the interesting thing would be if Dallas ever gets an outdoor game, then and they have an alumni game, then I guess Dallas will have to wear those Stars uniforms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel your pain, but I think it has to be the North Stars. You have to have a North Stars alumni game.
I think so.
Yeah, you can't have a Minnesota
Wild. They were North Stars
alumni
for a while.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But I feel your pain. I really do, and I'm glad you guys are playing better. And the Dubnyk's back. He's playing pretty good.
Dubnyk's good.
Yeah, he's playing good. Yeah. You guys are right there.
Yeah, they are.
Cody D.
Although Byrne did not pick them to join the playoffs.
Cody D. wants to know, in regards to cheap shots, or illegal hits, for example, the Marchand spear, earlier this month, should the Players Safety Commission pay closer attention to the actions and reactions of the player that was attacked when deciding the fate of the attacker? For example, Marchand was antagonizing and even instigating Prost before the incident and then laughing about it almost immediately after. Is there no recourse for being a pest?
That's a good question.
There is recourse for being a pest. You make them drop the gloves, and when they don't drop the gloves, you drill them with a clean hit. And if you don't want it to be completely clean, maybe you get a board, or maybe you get you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You know, but
spearing's different.
Yeah, hitting someone in the balls with your stick. I mean, that's the most unmanly way to handle it.
Yeah. That's not the way to handle it.
Yeah. You want to get back at Marchand when he's not looking, you drill him into the wall.
That's the old Gordie Howe method.
Yeah. That's why I'm glad Booner didn't. I hate to put Boone Jenner in on the Bobby Probert Award, because the fight was started by him taking a bad knee. A bad knee at somebody. Exactly. And Probert would he'd throw you a bad elbow, never go after someone's knee. Yeah.
There's a code.
Yeah, the way you handle Marchand is when he's skating down the ice, you drill him. Even if I don't like a board with his back turned, that's trying to hurt someone. But I don't mind a straight up interference when someone's looking right at you and run right through him.
Well, and I think there's different levels of pest.
Well, and Marchand
sometimes
is the
you're
best.
Just being a pest. Right. Sometimes you're just being a pest. Other times you're putting the other guy in danger .
Yeah, and our hardworking staff here, i.e. Johnny Bench, was Brandon Prust, and he found out there's another pronunciation, could be Proust. So tap of the stick to Johnny Bench.
I like
Bench
the way he's keeping us on our toes.
Doing his homework. But that's a long time coming, because look who Prust has played for. The Rangers, Montreal, and Vancouver. Three teams that absolutely hate the Boston Bruins.
There's something.
And when
this.
You hate the Boston Bruins, who do you hate the most? You hate Brad Marchand.
Of course.
So, Proust, I've always thought is an upstanding guy until this event. And he'll always fight people and fight him. If he doesn't want to fight, drill him. Hey, butt and stick him in the esophagus. Hit him, cross-check him in the face. Give him a broken nose. Hitting someone in the balls is not the way you do it.
Low blow.
Not the way you do it. And that's the recourse to answer the question for a pest. A very vicious cross check will end pesting. Hitting someone in the balls, that's not the way you do it.
He also adds, let me know next time you're in Alberta. Go Flames, go. So very nice of him.
Yeah, very nice. Well, the Flames. We're gonna send Captain up there.
Flames are looking good, man.
Yeah, they're clicking. Well, you know what? The D's playing again. Russell's playing. Brody's playing. Giordano's fully recovered. Hamilton's minutes are down. And Carey Ramos stopping the puck.
Yeah, they're looking.
You
got
to have goaltending. Edmonton. To get back to Edmonton is in an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah.
They haven't won – or seven in a row. They haven't won 8 in a row since 84-85 or 86-87.
I still think they're coming. Steve was saying that, they're still – they haven't used their draft picks wisely. But you know what? Connor McDavid hurt. Wait till he gets back. He's good, man. And they're good. They're going to be good.
Yeah, they're
their
coming.
Record doesn't show it yet.
Yeah, they're coming. The Kings got to do it now again.
Yeah.
Or the Ducks. Edmonton's coming.
Speaking of Edmonton, Logan B. wants to know, can Cam Talbot lead the Oilers into the playoffs? Will the Oilers pick up any defense before the deadline?
I think Cam Talbot can do it.
Talbot's playing pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's warming up. He's getting used to being a regular goaltender. A number one. Are they going to add D? I like the way Nurse is playing. If they get close and they want to throw away – they're a little bit of the future for right now, which kind of like, the Penguins did in 2008 when they just went out. They go, we're close. Let's go for Hossa. They want to do that and, give up one of the give up the Nuge. Or give up maybe if Yakupov comes back. They're not going to give up Taylor Hall. They're not going to give up Leon. And they're not going to give up McDavid. So maybe the Nuge and go out. If they're going to do that, though, I would get a stud. I would not just add pieces and say, oh, maybe. I'd go big with the guy you're going to keep. You know, if I, you know, I don't, you know, I would, you know what I mean? I would go like,
yeah.
I would say here's the number one pick and someone for Shea Weber or Yossi. Not that they're near the block or anything. I would just go big.
Right.
I would
for some of those guys, those young
well,
guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, would you throw away some of the future for just no. pieces?
No, you got to get someone good.
Yeah. That you're going
to
keep.
Because those kids are good.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I wouldn't just do it to kind of try to make the playoffs, maybe. I'd say, hey, look, we're 3 points out, 25 to go. Let's get the stud that we're going to put this,
I agree.
The captain
I
on.
Because those kids have a lot of potential. If you're going to give them up, you better get somebody good.
Right.
All right, last one from Dana, who could probably solve the Proust versus
Dana would
Prost.
Know that.
Yeah. So tweet us and let us know. He says, you guys see that garbage call on Tom Wilson last night? Hashtag no head contact.
That is what I wanted to give the skirt of the week to. I wrote so small this week. Thank you so much, Dana.
Dana does it.
Dana always helping the show. Yeah. I wanted to give the skirt award to the referee who didn't like a nice clean check at center ice.
Yeah, come on.
There was nothing wrong with that hit.
No contact.
No, in a 5 minute. And I mean, really made the. I mean, almost gave the game away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, Dana.
Way to point that out, Dana.
Tap of the stick to Dana.
Dana
right
gets
there.
The
Thank
tap.
You.
Yeah,
right. And Johnny Bench for reading the tweet, making that tweet important.
Plus, Dana will solve the Proust situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, thank you guys, and follow us at Puck Off Podcast on Twitter, and send us your tweets and your questions and comments and love.
Well, Johnny, Merry Christmas! Once again, I want to thank the great Steve Byrne.
Steve Byrne, always great.
Swinging by on the Facebook page, the Puck Off Facebook page, I put up. A great article written from someone in Canada about the if you love hockey and greatness, it's about Jaromir Jagr. It's not even an article; it's more like quotes. And he asked, like Ronnie Francis, Scotty Hartnell, some of his old coaches, just about Jagr. And then if you're around, you know, I'll be with the great Bill Burr New Year's Eve. Me and Paul Verzi, and if you're in LA, at the Orpheum Theater for two nights,
what
for
a
two
great
shows
gig
on New Year's Eve. Mr. Frazier, I listened once again to the KLOS show. It was just a great show. And you played some B.B. King at the end.
Yeah, you heard that.
Oh, you get the great the great talk, yeah. and then Riley B. King.
Oh, you can't beat Riley, man.
You can't beat Riley.
Well, thank you for listening, buddy, and we're having fun with that show. If you get a chance, please check it out, 95.5 KLOS or 95.5KLOS.com if you're listening on iHeartRadio. So we thank you for that. I also wound up opening for Oingo Boingo at the Whiskey A Go Go.
Yeah.
The world renowned.
How was that?
Unbelievably cool.
Yeah, it had to be cool.
It was just fun, and that band is great.
Oh, yeah, they totally. And you're going to do the Rose Parade?
Well, not this year.
Oh, whoa, okay.
I'm going to Phoenix. I'm going to be opening for the great Paul Rodriguez.
Congratulations.
At the Phoenix Laugh Factory.
New Year's Eve. That's going to be awesome.
Thank you, buddy. And we really thank you guys for joining us. We love the Puck Off fans. Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we gave you a little bonus, a little bonus hockey. We didn't even go through. We went to the shootout this episode.
We did.
Once again, everyone from Puck Off, thank you. We love you guys. The guys overseas, the guys servicemen.
Love them. Merry Christmas. Love
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, guys. Merry Christmas, Joe, Johnny. Thanks for joining us. This is Puck Off for Frazier Smith. I am
out.
We are out.